All right, y'all. What's going on, man? Y'all, let me know if y'all can hear me. Hang on. Let me get my gunshots going real quick. I can wake y'all up real quick, so I can make sure they can hear me. Let me see. Hey, if you can hear that, give me a one in the chat. But hey, man, this is a special Friday night live stream, man. Shout out to the good folks at StreamYard. They have hooked me up with a wonderful subscription. So I'll be going live a lot. And yeah, man, it's episode 67 of the Textual Talk podcast. I'm your host, HD. And we got the Cyber Rev here with us today. And, you know, he's going to be dropping them gems today. If you're interested in being on the blue team, want to know more about the blue team, then it's the stream for you. And yeah, man, we about to get into it. So, you know, let me bring our guests up real quick. Yo, what's going on, man?
What's up, man? What's going on?
Not much, man. So, you know, we're going to pop it off like I told you earlier, man. Because we couldn't flesh this combo out. We could a little bit through text and Twitter, but it's easy to talk about it.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? You team Lil Fish. I'm team Boogeyman Bud.
Let me tell you something, man. It's all about the strap season. You know what I'm saying?
It's cool. I didn't went to two arrow fights. You know what I'm saying?
It's gonna be a man down when that man sign up. You know what I'm saying? So your man duck it. Your man Crawford duck it. You
know what I'm saying? Not ducking. He ain't got no promoter, man. He ain't ducking, bro. Honestly, it's not even. To be totally honest, it's not even Errol, man. It's Al Haymon. Al Haymon is the one. Years ago, that when he had Keith kind of drop the belt, he promised him, like, you're gonna get like a shot at your WC strap again, because Keith didn't ever lose the belt, he gave it up while he was, you know, healing.
Yeah,
and so now Spence trying to act like he's not gonna fight Keith, but he's gonna have to.
Well, where was Keith at when Spence was calling him out?
Well, you got to think about it. If you go way back in time, of course, Keith knew that was gonna be a big money fight, but Al never made no contract for them to fight, and I could find this is like years ago before Spence, either right after he beat Carol Brook or right before.
Right.
Porter was like really giving a lowdown, like, hey, they kind of protecting Errol a little bit. Like, I know they making him beat this big guy, but he was still fresh then. That Errol was not finna beat that unified Keith at the time. Not at that time.
They didn't want that to happen.
But I don't think I think it would have rushed him and it would have been too bad. And to be honest, Ugas is the right person to fight off of that bad the car wreck, and then the
right. Oh, so you call it Ugas a tune up?
Yes, for a fact. I think he lost to Amir Iman or something at 140. Like Ugas is not that good. He's good at decent, but that Cuban style is not good. He don't have no power, so it's like there were times where he hurt Spence. So I was like, I don't know how his body really reacted. So if he do fight Keith, which I still feel like he can beat Keith, but Keith punched way harder than Ugas. Still, his power ain't gonna leave. And he awkward. So if he get past that, we'll see. Even though I don't look like he gonna get the fight. I got an idea. We're gonna mess around and see Bud fight Virgil Ortiz.
I would like to see that.
He's gonna have to start them because he wanna go at 54, but you know, Al not gonna let him fight Charlo either. And I favor Charlo in that, but I think that'd be a good fight because I was rewatching him and Tony Harrison too. And you know, Tony Harrison was in his head, so he was messing him up. Had he just boxed smart and not tried to punch with Charlo, He would have won the fight.
Tony Harrison sold that fight, by the way.
He and did.
I wanted to watch it just because how he was handling Charlo at that presser. But Tony a good fighter, and you know, the Charlo's got a bad name, but they could crack. I like him, man.
At 160, if we see. Charlo versus Boo Boo. I'm putting money on Boo Boo.
Boo Boo, yeah. You know what? It's hard to call for me.
For me just because of who Charlo struggles with at 160. I'm talking about Jamal.
Oh, Jamal. Yeah.
Or we might see Boo Boo versus a Danny Jacobs. I wouldn't be surprised if we see that either.
Well, Jamal is better than Jamal in my opinion anyway. And I don't know. And I don't know about Danny Jacobs beating Charlo.
No, I'm talking about we might see Danny Jacobs versus Boo Boo.
Oh, versus Boo Boo? You might have to get at the Boo Boo.
I know. I'm going to one of them. And then, you know, everybody in the chat, this is my last boxing question. Like, not thing, but I'm going to try to I don't know how type of way, but I want to go to Atlanta to see my dog fight the GOAT. You know what I'm saying? Boxing is good when he there commentating and making people laugh and stuff like that. Especially you got Coach Kev in his corner, man. Him and Red Cash going to be a good fight.
He's
got to get rounds in, man. People be so hard on him. But the man begged Al Haymon after his last fight a year ago. Was like, hey, man, just keep me in the ring so I stay out of trouble.
Broner, I like Broner too. You know, he get a bad rap because he was trying to be like Floyd after, you know, he wasn't trying to be himself. Now you see him in interviews, how he himself now.
Right.
And it's a whole different ball game dealing with him. But he could crack too. You know, he got hands.
He one of the more underrated fighters. If people actually watch him, he one of the more underrated fighters that can fight on the inside. A lot of these young cats don't know how to fight on the inside.
Right.
But y'all, man, thanks for tuning in. We got like 16 people in the building, man. Shout out to y'all. But so we got Cyber Rev right here. So we're going to pretty much let him introduce himself and who he is and what he do and kind of a little bit about his background.
Yeah. All right. For those who don't know, my name is Marcus Bowie. On Twitter, they call me the Cyber Reverend. And I'm the founder and COO of MaxPro Technologies. We're a cybersecurity company based out of Southern Maryland. We specialize in security operations, digital forensics, endpoint threat detection, and workforce development. We have a few contracts that I got this year under that company. And outside of that, my main job, I'm a security engineer supporting Department of Energy. And I also do, I'm a forensic SME for the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. So glad to be here and another organic opportunity. My man hit me up and I said, let's make it happen. You know what I'm saying? So glad to be here, guys.
Yeah, man. Y'all know he's so busy. We had to be scheduled this thing probably like five times. Man.
I was working it. It was an offer I couldn't refuse. I'm not a pen tester, but I was able to get 2 pen test contracts this year. And every time we were supposed to do something, it was something dealing with that pen test contract. And so now we're here. We're here, man. Thanks, man. Thanks for having me. At first, he was ducking me because I was an Errol Spence fan, but now
we want all the smoke. You know what I'm saying?
Kind of changed his mind at the end. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, I mean, honestly, bro, I like Errol as a fighter. I don't like how he act as like a man, like kind of little stuff he do, like leaving out the arena when, you know, Porter got stopped, like little stuff or forgetting that he the one that said
Porter, listen.
I seen it in his eyes, bro. Kenny seen it. Kenny seen it. And yeah, it ain't his fault. Cause look, people tell me he threw it, but Bud took it easy on him because they friends. Time he said, "Oh, yeah. I'm down." What Bud do when the rubber hit the road? And he said he down. He said, "Okay, watch this."
All right. So Porter wanted, and Porter is I think he's a Errol Spence hater too. So I think he kind of wanted it to go that way as well.
I wouldn't say he a hater because he the one that's didn't really say it. Bud don't know what he's doing with the negotiation. So I don't know. I'll be taking what he say with a grain of salt.
Grain of salt.
Showbiz be here and there, but he be there sometimes, and then I don't be liking sometimes what he say. But I still like, I support his channel. I rock with him because it's hard to build that boxing. That's why I quit. Like I can't do that.
He's solid. Showbiz solid. He got me laugh. He be having me laughing. Just
shoot. I be having my girl say, "And that's the black 2 sugars."
Just to him commentating is just. Oh, yeah. Just hilarious.
They need to have him on Black Prime. I'm right. Thinking of getting Showbiz on that because I don't want them to have breaking news, superstar boxer Errol Spence will be fighting Keith Thurman on March 3rd, 2023. You heard it here first, Blue Blood Sports TV.
Him or that other dude. It's another dude. What's his name? Aki.
Oh, that dude. He funny too. He pretty funny. Him punch drunk. All them dudes. They pretty cool. But yeah, man, let's get into it. We gonna have a live stream where we either just be up playing the game or just talking about this because I think people want to hear it.
Right.
But tell us about kind of like your early career, how you got started, like what motivated you or how did you end up even getting about into like cybersecurity? Like, how did you do it? Because, you know, so many people now, it's 2022, well, yeah, about to be 2023. They still don't know how to get in. You know what I'm saying? So about how long you been doing this again?
I've been doing cyber at the end of December, it'll be 6 years.
Right. And then were you doing anything before cyber?
I was doing help desk. And so
that was about how long?
I was on help desk for 2 years. Maybe 1 year first, then I came back. I came back to manage it.
Okay.
But the guy who put me on, I never talk about this, and I should be bigging up this person. There was a guy who took a chance on me when I was before I got in the IT field. I was doing architecture. I was an architecture fresh out of high school. I got hired by a design build company based upon my skill of architecture. I was studying for it since fourth grade all the way up to high school. I competed in the county, won first place architecture design. I got free college credits, but never got a chance to go. But our architect firm hired me fresh out of high school to design and build homes in the DMV area. So there's a few homes in the DMV area that has my design on it. But there was a guy who took a chance on me. When the market crashed in 08, I was like, I gotta figure out what to do. I gotta do something. And there was a guy that I know, his name is Ronnie Hartwell. And Ronnie Hartwell, he was like a PM at the State Department. And he took a chance on me. He's like, look, get you a little cert and I can make something happen. You know, and I was able to go get a cert, do some internships. And he hired me with really no skills. You know, I worked at a law firm. I worked at a bank. But I dealt with like the printer. I touched the printer. He gave me a chance. So me, where I'm at now, was because really he gave me that shot to get in. And I always tell people, it's not always what you know, it's who you know. And your who you know will get you to the next who you know. And so he was the first who you know. He got me in the door. And he told me, I know you, but I will fire you. That's all he told me on the interview. I know you, but I will fire you. And I said, that's all I need to hear. And as soon as he let me in, I get in. I do my help desk 1 year. He said, just give me 1 year. I gave him 1 year. They promoted me to remote access team. After that year, I think it was a year and 6 months. Then from there, they kicked me out. They said, go to desktop support. So go see the customers face to face. I did that for 4 months. Then another team needed help, which was the refresh team. They was like, hey, we need somebody that can learn quick. All right, send him. So I went and I went with that team for 4 months. And then after that, the help desk that I started on called back. Hey, we got a manager, team lead spot. You want it? You want to go out for it? I was like, yeah, sign me up. And so I went and I applied and I went up against 6 people and they gave it to me. And so I was there. I was managing for 2.5 years on the help desk. My name.
You understand me? When y'all see my name, put some respect on it.
Yeah, put that respect. And then from there, that's how I got. That was my first, you know, that's what led me into getting into cyber. And I always tell people, if you're on the help desk, that's the fastest way to pivot in, because those tickets you create and go to those different teams. One day I used to work overnight. One day I come in there, I put chairs together, and this dude walk in a skiff. I don't know if you've been in a skiff before, but you're not supposed to bring phones, electronics, and stuff like that. This guy had a suit on and he had a BlackBerry. And they was like, hey, can you help this guy? You know, I'm off my shift. You know, I'm ready to, you know, I'm just putting chairs together for the night shift. We got some new chairs. We was going to lounge in. And I said, yeah, I'll help him out. And I kicked somebody off their machine, wrote the ticket up. I did customer service. You know, if you're in customer service, do customer service. I did the customer service. I wrote the ticket up. I called over to the people who I sent the ticket to. I put it in high priority. Ended up being somebody I knew. And I told him, hey, hook this dude up. And then when I gave that man the phone, I walked away. I forgot all about it. I even had to do that ticket. Just forgot about it. Went back to doing chairs. The whole time this dude's watching me while I'm putting the chairs together. And I guess the phone call took like 5 minutes. And he came over And he was like, hey, man, I just want to thank you, man. My BlackBerry was doing this. And I was trying to brush him off. I was like, oh, yeah, that's all right, man. Look, man, no problem, dog. You know, you good. And he was like, look, if you need anything from Diplomat Security, let me know. And in my brain, I'm like, Diplomat Security? That's the cyber team. That's the cyber security team. Because I remember sending tickets. And he was like, yeah, oh, by the way. He was like, I'm the division branch chief. I said, all right, let's go outside and have a conversation. So we went outside and he's like, what you need? I said, I feel like I could be good in cyber. I'm hearing about it. I've been hearing about it for a while. I even tried to go work with that team, but it was no opening. And I'm just looking for a shot. And he said, send me your resume. This was a Friday morning. Friday morning. No cert, no degrees. He said, give me your resume. 3 weeks later, I was sitting in that seat. No cert, no degrees, no skills, but the help desk skills. And I got in. I got in. The issues now is that it's much harder. You're not going to really have these type of opportunities unless you're really, really good at networking or you just so happen to catch them on a day where they need bodies, you know what I'm saying, or some tier one leave or something like that. It's mm-hmm. getting more and more and more competitive, but that's my story of how I get in, and we can get into how, you know, my thoughts on that.
Oh yeah, definitely, man. I was going to shout out to you. I was going to talk about, I think you was on, shout out to my guy, City Boy Cyber. I believe you was
City
on.
City Boy, yeah, that's my guy. City Boy
yeah,
Cyber.
He was on his check stuff before.
Check him
and
out.
I
yeah.
was like, I was watching the episode. I was like, hold on, man. I went to undergrad trying to be an architect. Or what? Oh, no. I don't know. I'm not good at drafting. I took wood shop and welding. So I just figured, hey, architecture makes sense.
And I'm about to post something in the New Day Co-op. Cause I've been working on, like, I took a break from Twitter. So if anybody follow me on Twitter, they ain't seen me. I'm grinding. I'm in my lab right now, working on some stuff. And you always got to have a time, and we're probably gonna touch on that. Like, have a time definitely. For you to regroup. I've been working on some architect plans because I'm looking at some more land, getting some more land, and I'm designing my home from scratch. So I'm gonna post like some pictures of what I got. Let you see my skills. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because bro, I already knew. Hey, listen. I knew I didn't have that in me, bro. Them people used to sleep. Our architecture building was called Hell Hall. Them dudes used to sleep in there. The interior design and architects,
yeah,
they was like engineers. At like I was like, y'all got it. I ain't as good at this. Yeah. I was like, I'm not already naturally talented in this. And I was looking at the starting salaries for architects. I was like, for like all the 40. Stuff I'm at to catch up on, yeah, it wasn't enough. So I was
it
like,
wasn't enough. Yeah,
I'm finna go this computer ride. I like this stuff anyway.
No, if you had did commercial architecture version, because I was in residential, so I'm doing. People still come to me. Hey, I need a permit. They put the pink slip on, told me to stop, and they come to me to get their stuff stamped. You know,
right
for like decks or additions to the house. People still come to me for that. But if you did commercial didn't get hit by that because people were still selling buildings and stuff like that. It was.
Yeah,
just
I know some friend. I got a friend. I think she's interior design, and she was talking about some building she was, I think she was having designed some downtown Dallas or some crap like that. And I remember it was I don't know if I had a friend or somebody I knew. It was like, this is years ago when I was unemployed, but I was interviewing. I had an interview for 7-Eleven that moved a sock out here to Irvin, and they was getting it designed. And I'm trying to think, was she the one doing it or not? I can't remember. Yeah. I gotta go back and ask. But yeah, you're definitely right about that. But I just knew I wasn't good at it in it. It just seemed like forced. Like I still like watching all this stuff. Like my family background. So I got carpenters. My dad is what's the word you want to call it? He do concrete. So he's been doing concrete since. If I'm 30,
masonry.
Been doing finishing and all that for years. Like so, that's his trade. I did a couple of driveways and patios and stuff with him back in the day. So. I know people probably thinking I don't know how to get my hands dirty, but that's what I grew up on.
hey, when I get my stuff together, I may need you. I may need you, dog. You know what I'm saying? I'm building from scratch, so.
Yeah. But dope, man. We're gonna piggyback right back into you. Pretty much got that role, and like some of the stuff that you went through reminds me of what should have happened when I was working for what used to be called CSC. but they got bought out by well, then it changed to CSRA, and then they got bought out by GDIT.
SRA. That's where I got my first sock. The cert roll was CSRA. Yep, that's it.
Right, and I don't think I ever told people this, but like, so I was working there for 2 years. So I started there in 2014. That's like my first real job, 17 an hour. I had my Sec Plus. A lot of people didn't have a Sec Plus or degree. So I was like, man, I could do this. I interviewed I interviewed for an internal sock role at CSRA, and they liked me and everything.
Yeah.
So I just knew they was going to give me the role. But I didn't find out till I was going to leave that my management blocked me from going. So I had all that BS going on, and then I was trying to go to the messaging team. But at the time I was trying to leave, they had the OPM breach, so they weren't doing no more clearances at the time.
Right.
My management didn't want to communicate that with me. They just act like they didn't know. But the recruiter was cool with me. She's like, yeah, they blocked it.
Yeah.
I was like, because the dude who set me up to go to the messaging team used to work with me on help desk, and he was pretty much right-hand man to the hiring manager. He said, man, you good. Like, this, you should think. Because think about it. Doing help desk, you already work with, like, a lot of stuff they could be doing anyway.
Right.
I just didn't. I got tired of taking calls. I wanted to, let me work out a queue.
Right.
And then the government sector stuff, so segmented, it's easy. Like, it's, that's why people go there and retire. Like, that's why I was like, listen, I get in government and like, when I'm like late 40s or something, if I just want to get an easy check, because it's hard to even get fired from a government job.
It's man, that's the end goal. I can't say that out loud yet because I got some stuff I'm working.
Right.
But yeah, you want to retire? Y'all want to ride off into the sunset? And be on the golf course for the rest of your life, go Govy. And I figure out it's way easier to get Govy, get a government job than people think. It's
I think so too.
To get into Govies. Then
because I still my clearance go bad in like 2 years. So
you got a chance to play around.
Hey, I'm gonna try. But yeah, I want to get into, let's talk about two things. And this has been a long time for you, but if you could talk about maybe some of the stuff you did at help desk, and then maybe talk about how that helped you once you got in that security role, because here, a lot of us like you, me, E, other people, we did help desk, you know, and a lot of people be kind of like, don't want to start in the beginning, not realizing like, sometimes it's a disservice based on what you're going to do. Right. But I've never seen a help desk person that got a security role not be a top performer.
Right.
I've never not seen it.
Right.
And I've seen people without that background be low performers.
Yeah. And that is correct. So when you're in the help desk, first thing they're going to hit you with is Active Directory, resetting passwords, account lockout, stuff like that. So you're able to see the OUs, the organizational units of where these accounts are. You can see the systems of where they sit and the different OUs. So I had that going for me when I went and did that. My first cyber gig was they didn't know. They didn't really understand the Active Directory situation. You see a system or you see a user account acting up, you know, where do you go to figure out who that is? The another plus, which should be the first plus, is you are creating tickets to these different teams. Sometimes you got to send out email communication. Sometimes you got to get on the phone with these different or offices, program offices. So you already know who's who. I had that on my name coming down because I already know who to contact. If it was email messaging issue or you need a phishing a phishing email that needed to be purged from somebody's mailbox, I already know who to call. That's the email team. If you need something on the firewall block, you call the firewall team. If you need something wonky on the network, I call the networking team. I already know who they were. And that's some of the advantages that I had was that piece, knowing who these people are, knowing something about Active Directory, but also knowing the networking stuff, you know, basic command line arguments, knowing how to use the Windows command line was a big deal. The tier one team I was on, they didn't really know, including me. You know, I'm coming in there. I don't really know cyber. I'm just down there with help desk and $2 in my pocket, pretty much. Just trying to feel my way around and understand what they got going on. And having that that institutional knowledge from help desk, knowing who you need to contact, knowing how to reach out to people, knowing Active Directory, knowing how to move around on Active Directory is a big help when you step into the cyber piece, because that's what they need help with the most. Who to contact if something mess up, and how do you lock down accounts or computers if there's some type of breach? If they didn't have, back then they didn't really have EDR tools at that time. It was just, hey, we see something going on, you call somebody, tell them go take it offline. Now it's getting more easier in the cyber realm to do that incident response, but having that, man, that helped me. That helped. That I was a little rock star after a while. Man. You know what I'm saying?
Shoot, I used to feel like our cybersecurity team was figure out what websites we were using to watch free movies.
FNet, F-Movies. All right. F-Movies is one, because we used to do that on help desk. It was another joint, FNet, and it was another one that you could watch free movie. Hulu, before they turned into the paid version, Hulu was free at one point.
Yeah.
And we used to go there, you know.
Man, listen.
That man, look.
Wait till the manager leave. Put that thing on the TV.
Listen, y'all, like, no cap. Like, at the time, I was a contractor for Apex. So they used to tell us back in that, hey, unlimited OT. Just, you ain't even got to tell us you can come in. Just come in. I used to do 4/10s at the time, so I would pick a time to come in. So at that time, I think I was working overnight. So I'm talking about maybe 3, 4, 5 calls, the whole shift.
Yeah.
I used to go to, we had a spot in Shreveport. I was still in Shreveport at the time. Game Exchange. I would go get DVDs, because at that time, they ain't disable you to put DVDs in the drive.
Yeah.
So since I couldn't use the site, I would just watch DVDs. Yeah. And then when we find a new site, like I actually discovered Power by working nights to help this. I was using the free site. I was like, man, what this is? And I had watched the whole season 1 and then like season 2, like that was back in late 2014. But dang. I don't know. It's like funny. Like,
yeah,
it's hard. Like now, like if I have a meeting with clients or whoever and we talking and maybe they thinking about, you know, wanting to cheat the grind or something like that. And it's like, in only certain instances, I'll probably persuade somebody not to do help desk. And that's only because if I know they got kids or they may take a hit with you know, financially. And so I'll direct them into a role that's less technical in the beginning just so they have a cybersecurity title. And then I say, hey, work your way into what you want to go to.
Right, right.
But if you young and, you know, living within your means, like you're going to get like a lot of experience. Now, I do advise people, hey, do it 6 months a year, really no more than 2, because what happens is the longer you do on your resume, they kind of try to pigeonhole you into it, even if you got the skills, and that's when you got to have your network and everything down in order to let people know about that.
Right.
But how long did you stay at that tier one joint?
The tier one SOC?
Yeah.
All right. So I did it because I was working 2 and I had a suite because the help desk was upstairs. The SOC was downstairs. Fire. So when I did the SOC, I didn't really know what I had, you know, cyber was just kicking off. It wasn't as hot like it is now. I didn't really know what I had. So I had, you know, I was down there. I would work. The schedule for the help desk was Sunday through Thursday nights. But the schedule for the SOC was Tuesday through Saturday nights. So I overlapped. When I hit Tuesday, going all the way up into Saturday, well, Tuesday into Thursday, I pretty much worked 16-hour days on those days. And I would work downstairs from 2 to 10, and then I take my hour break and go up from 11 to 7. And I did that for 6 months. And only did that because I wanted to, you know, I wanted to see what it was like to hit that six-figure mark, you know what I'm saying? And that was 2 years after being in IT that I was able to juggle those.
Man, you was grinding.
I was grinding like a mud. I was single. I was by myself. You know what I'm saying? I was at Ralph Lauren every week. You know what I'm saying? They knew me by name. They knew me by name in that joint. Mr. Bowie, we have the new selection. You know what I'm saying? I'm
you sound like one of my homeboys, man. Chris said, Fade with that.
Go ahead, throw it. Go ahead, throw that joint up there. Yeah, I buy it. You know
just
what I'm saying?
Throw it in the bag.
Throw it in the bag. You know what I'm saying? But at that time, I said, I need to slow down. You know what I'm saying? Health-wise, I need to slow down. And so I said, I quit. I quit the sock one in 6 months. I quit that joint, which was, I didn't know what I had. I didn't know what I had. But I had that same situation you had where I could have went back. I quit. And the only reason why I quit is because I was about to reach the 5-year mark with that company that I was working with, the 5-year mark.
Right.
I was about to reach the 5-year mark with that company. Once I hit 5 years, then I say, I'll come back. I could have had every, I had every opportunity to go back. But the problem was I had a PM that was down there that said, my last day there to go to it, because I ended up getting picked up 6 months later by another organization to do sock work. That PM that I left said, I stopped you from coming down here because I didn't like how you quit 6 months after coming in. You know what I'm saying? And I said, man, you piece of trash. And she was on her way out. They was walking her out, taking her badge. She had got fired that day, and she going to tell me, yeah, the reason why you couldn't get down is because I said,
what?
No. Yeah, right. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know what she's doing now, but I end up doing great things when I actually went to a real sock environment. Because right. The first cyber piece, it was a cert. It was a cert. It wasn't really a sock. It was a cert. But you know, 6 months later, I got into a real sock.
You sound like me, man. My first gig at McAfee. Well, like I said, because McAfee don't exist no more. Now it's Trellix.
Oh, they changed.
McAfee and FireEye joined together to be Trellix.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
What was this?
Recent. It's like last year, I think.
Oh, okay.
But I talked about this briefly, like. I was telling people on my LinkedIn, like, you know, don't quit like applying or trying to get jobs right now just because Q4. Because I remember 6 years ago, Q4, I go to the hiring event McAfee had. They had a headquarters in Plano, Texas out here. I went to it, found a security manager, and we chopped it up. And that's how I ended up getting my first sock role. And he actually commented on that LinkedIn post about remembering, like, you know, how determined and stuff I was.
Yeah.
But their issue was that, like, Intel used to run all, they, you know, McAfee at one point was owned by Intel. So that was actually Intel at the time. And their sock ran everything. Mm. So they knew they was branching off and they decided, okay, cool. We gonna have a sock. And let's just say they hired people that didn't know what they was doing. No people that ever really ran a sock. It was kind of like, remember you said you only get those opportunities sometimes if a place just need bodies and some other stuff. It was situations like that. Like we had all different type of people that would have been more than capable, but we never got any like real training. Like we used to, like when I tell you, like that was like the worst sim ever. Their sim was called it used to be called Nitro. But then they changed it to McAfee ESM.
Yeah, I remember that.
Like, bro, it wasn't even like, think internally was not tuned at all. Like, they had one engineer responsible for it. Trash. We had four different tabs we had to log in to access the, like, four different, like, areas. Like, the only thing, like, I tell people this up and down. If I was to send a link to my guy, Pat, right now and say, what is the only thing that we worried about while we was working at McAfee? I would bet $100 he's gonna say WannaCry. Like no cap.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only thing like we would do. Yeah. Like you see them WannaCry, see them IPs, hey, we send this to a networking team to turn these IPs off, roll the updates up in the patches. That's all we did. Like I spent my time looking at like why are like these events firing for like these old freaking CVEs that don't even affect our environment. I had a little Excel spreadsheet that I use, and that still didn't save me from getting laid off. So if you're watching this, look out for yourself, man. Always look out for yourself. But it's crazy. It was like night and day. Left McAfee, went to Optiv, and it was like night and day difference.
Yeah.
Night and day difference. Like, you know, they pushed us to do the Chris Sanders training, and that was like a game changer for me. That Chris Sanders training was a game changer. And then from there, went on and to supporting that big contract.
That's kind of like my first sock. Same thing. The cert, I'm gonna say cert. The first cyber gig, same thing. Nobody knew what they was doing. The tier twos knew what they was doing, but they didn't want to help tier ones. And you know, it was. I found out immediately when I got to my second SOC gig how much trash I was. I was trash, dog. I didn't know how to do a Splunk search query. You couldn't ask me to figure out anything. Fishing, nothing.
Hey, listen, no cap though. That's how I felt like I was so kind of like terrified, like starting at Optiv, because I was like, man, what if I'm a fraud? Like, what if I don't do good and I get fired, bro? Because I had just came off of being laid off from like February, and I didn't start working at Optiv until June 1st of 2017. Yeah. So I was terrified. But yeah, the funny thing is, and I think I said this in my videos, they had, I think we started off with, before I left, I think it was a team of like 12 or 13. And then when we started, it was me, Bicky, George, Shiva, Anthony, I think Alfredo. So it might be six or seven people when we started off. Our client gave us like 10 use cases that they want us to draw responses for. And so we had to present them to them, and we knocked it out of the park. The previous provider for the client was DXC. When I tell you DXC's playbooks were trash, bro, they were trash, bro. I'm talking about, they was giving them MSS service. So literally if something happened, they just was escalating. I was like, bro, this is trash, bro.
Yeah, no, you can't. You got to be able to take it from cradle to grave. And I understand that. That was one of the, I ran into an environment where that was the case, where just do this and right, and you're not really learning anything.
Nothing beneficial, man.
Right.
So delve a little bit into that that second sock. Like, cause I feel like,
yeah,
once you break in, then you get the, it's like everybody,
yeah,
if I was a bed man, everybody got the one role where they got the first role, but then they got this role in their career that pretty much kind of shaped what they would do within their career. They're gonna have up, yes, and downs, but that one role, yes, is their foundation of what they can accomplish in their career. Like, so I'm figuring that the second role is there for you, because that's how Optiv was for me.
Yes.
So, you know, let's talk about that.
That second role, again, I walked in and I was trash. I was garbage. But I don't feel like what everybody else feel, the what they call it, imposter syndrome. I never felt that. I never had that, oh man, what if I don't do well? Or what if I don't belong or something? I always knew I belonged in the spot I'm supposed to be in. I just knew that I had to work at whatever they put in front of me. I got to work at it, right? So I knew I was trash. The customer we had, the GS14, he was trash, and he used to come in there throwing his weight around. We need to see production. We need to see this. We need to see that, and we're like, you know what I'm saying? We just got here. We don't even know the environment yet. Nobody really know what's going on. But one till a guy, his name is Patrick Olson. I will always be grateful for him. Patrick Olson showed up. And even before he get there, let me just set the tone. I'm there. I don't know how to use the tools. I don't know how to do proper analysis. I'm still a tier one. It was a tiered structure. So it was tier one, tier two, tier three. And you have like a forensics team. I'm tier one. I'm just doing monitoring analysis. I don't know what's going on. I'm being pressured by the customer. All right, we need the tickets. We need this. We need that. I'm lost in the sauce. So what I did was I would work there. I think it was 12 hours. And then I would go home and work for me for 8 hours. I'm on YouTube. I'm on Google. Like, if I see something that I saw at work, I will research it so that I take whatever I learned the night before back to the job. I did that for a solid 6 months so I can start holding my weight, carrying my weight around. Eventually, they got rid of that trash team lead on government lead, and they brought a new guy in there. His name is Patrick Olson. Patrick Olson showed up, and he kind of like threw everything that was in structure out the window. It was a tier structure. He threw it out the window. His first day, he was like, hey, you come here. I go to his office. Cool guy. You know, he walked in with donuts and coffee. And he said, What do you do here? I said, I'm just an M&A guy. You know, I'm tier one. And he was like, what do you want to do here? And I was like, I want to do forensics. And his question he asked kind of spurred me or motivated me to be where I'm at today. He was like, "What's stopping you?" And so I told him what stopped. I said, "Well, first of all, we don't have admin rights to touch the tools. The last guy, he didn't trust us with tools. He said, done. What else is stopping you?" I said, "We need training. I don't know what to do." Done. That was his first day in there. He got me admin rights submitted, and he started setting up some training for me to do it. Now, the training, the way he did it wasn't like, because he got rid of the tiered structure. He said, anybody that want to do something they've never done before, we have this team called ETD, Endpoint Threat Detection Team. In order to get on this team, you got to compete in 5 categories. And I think one was email, one was memory forensics, one was USB device. It was the curriculum from SANS 500, which is 500 now, GCFE, and it was SANS 508, which is memory forensics. You had to compete, and you had to score 80% or higher on those challenges. If you tied with somebody that week on your score, y'all had to compete together in a capture the flag competition, so to eliminate the last guy. He opened it up for the whole top. Only 4 people got on that team. I was one of the 4. And from that point, I started learning. He took me from tier 1 straight to tier 3 in a matter of 6 months. I'm learning Encase. I'm learning how to deploy Symantec. I'm learning memory forensics. I'm touching a little bit of malware. I'm learning how to properly handle incidents from cradle to grave, where I'm not kicking into somebody to, "Hey, I need you to look at this PCAP." I could do it myself. He took me from that for 6 months. He took me from tier 1 to tier 3. I'd never really been to tier 2. Tier 1 to tier 3. And then from there, I shot off. I shot off into the atmosphere in the SOC world. And I'm forever grateful for that guy. I still talk to him to this day. He almost made me a millionaire last year, but I turned the job down. I'm kind of mad about that. But I think there'll be other opportunities messing with him. So that's the second job that got me my swag in the SOC space. And then every job after that, I grew. I just added more confidence and skill, to what I got from that particular job. And I love the first one, the first SOC job. Those guys were cool, but this one, I still talk to these guys still to this day. You know what I'm saying?
That's fire, man. And all right, y'all know, since I've been doing these live streams, I've been trying to give y'all free game, free interview tips. One of the easiest big interview tips you can have is, if you're interviewing for a role, if you can provide examples of things you did at your current job or past jobs of things that they need done, you probably got about like a 95% chance of getting the job, unless somebody else comes that's just like you and they like them more. Like,
yeah,
it's literally like, that's why you really can't trump experience, because even though home labs, all the stuff is good, being able to say you did this for an actual company speaks to, okay, whatever. Because, like, I'm going to save it. So I'm going to save it for the Patreon. I almost said something. I'm going to save it for the Patreon. If you want to know about some stuff that I'm going to say, join the Patreon, because it's not ready for YouTube just yet.
Okay.
Do that. I'm going to drop it. When I can drop it, I will, But, Fez be watching, so I got to play smart, man, because, like, I made this video about, like, why I quit Goldman Sachs, and it's a fire video, but I unlisted it just because I was like, if I'm trying to test some waters, I need to unlist that so they can go look at it. But that's dope, man. I remember, like not a the silver lining at McAfee was I met like a guy named Ron, and Ron was dope. Ron might have been 10 or 12 years older than me. Different background, came from truck driving, and then was good at sock stuff. And he should have been, I said in my video about the worst, like, ever, Ron should have been our manager. Ron knew everything. Like, he would tell straight up, like, this ain't it. This ain't dude. Like, all right, this is how you look for someone. This is what you do. Like, he was the first one to say, "Hey, man, download you like a secondary virtual machine. So if we get these phishing alerts, you can go and analyze them in here." Like, nobody else was helping me. Like, I've always did this every new job. whether it's virtual or in person, the smartest person, I go get right up under them so I can learn.
Yeah.
Because that's what I did when I was at Optif. I learned, shout out to John Landers, I learned from the principal guy. In a way to another gym, like for a career trajectory, is like if you want to get help at work, the best thing to do is like do everything you can, and somebody who can't will do everything they can. So it'd be stuff I didn't know, but because I went to the documentation, I said, hey, John, I did this, 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 and this, but I'm kind of like stuck. He was like, hey, got time for a quick Zoom? Yeah, man, I just did this funk search. Look over here, boom, 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 and this is how you do that. And I started gaining my confidence, learning more and more, still needing help, but it got to the point where he would start vouching for me. He's like, yeah, y'all hit him up. So if he said it, because he was a godsend to our client, that made me start looking better. So that's one of the ways it's like, while everybody was doing whatever they doing, I was playing chess. I was the one of the first people that like, they say, no, we can't even let you work nights no more. We need you during the day. Because every day I'm on night shift, I'm sending probably 20 different emails. Like, this don't make sense. This don't make sense. We need to fix this. Why is this like this? Like, oh, who is this guy sending all these emails? Like,
right.
And all this stuff come from a background of just knowing processes from like help desk, like simple stuff. And people be like you saw my this week when I was giving people like these sock interview questions.
Yeah.
And I always tell them how people want to go straight, super technical, which is cool. But I was like, it could be an easier way to figure it out. Like when you work all these alerts, you realize it ain't about how smart I am. It's like how efficient I'm doing it. It's like
efficient.
But he was like, I'm going to restrict the access. I was like, bro, you might not be able to do that working on the sock, bro.
Right.
I'm like this is something simple, bro. Like, hey, whoever made the change, like, are they like their job title? Are they able to do that? Like, check out that first. Like, some simple. Like, you know, they kind of get so ramped up until they get that experience. Where I was, you know, I'm making this harder than it got to be.
I'm actually preparing something for all your questions because I want to respond to. I said, this is some good content creation right here. Let me respond to those questions. So,
right,
you
should
send something for me soon.
Dope. I want that though, because you know all the people on there. Like I tell people, it's really for me because the other guy. I'm gonna tag Brian so he can do it too, because he does incident response for, I believe USAA. Yeah, with cloud and stuff like that. Which I think he had a background in law enforcement, so he's gonna be on the channel eventually too. So that'd be dope. But I tell people I really don't have a right or wrong answer for that question. I just want to see what you're gonna say.
Yeah.
And I was trying to show people like when you're interviewing, especially for like. Sock roles, like as much as technical they are, you're gonna have to have a process. They need to figure out how you're gonna think to a hypothetical, because everybody can have a different way to get to the end goal, and they're just trying to figure out if they can understand completely how you solve things.
Right. Communication is big, and how you communicate, you gotta understand everything is a fire to top leadership. That because 9 times out of 10, the top leadership don't do cyber, they just in that seat.
And so they are good at making deals, ones and zeros, they are good at talking.
Yeah, good at talking.
And that's a message people got to get into, too. I always tell people, like, you can be an IC, or if you want to start going lead management route, you got to get comfortable with talking on Zoom, being visible, leading meetings, volunteering, fixing stuff, making your network known. You go, like you said, you helped the guy with the BlackBerry. And that's what I meant to ask you. Were they using Bez at the time when y'all stepping with their BlackBerries? Were they using Bez?
Yeah, that's what they was using at that team. Yep. And good then they Bez. Moved over to another. They moved over to
Good. Was it good for Enterprise?
I think I don't remember. They moved over to something new, One or something like that. Is it One or I forgot. But they were using Bez. They were using Bez at the time he came in, and there was another team that handled it. Particular
we had access to like help them out with Bez and stuff, and then we had actual, like you said, it was an actual Bez team.
Yeah,
because the guy that I was talking about earlier that did messaging with us, he was from the Air Force, so he used to do Bez in the Air Force.
Oh, nice.
So he said, Tommy, forgot. Oh, we was on the phone. Said, I ain't finna do this. And get this, y'all. Like I've said this many times, people was like crazy. Like, bro, he had the best contractor. Ram was working with us on the help desk, making like 40 some an hour help desk. And then got some more money added when he went to freaking do messaging. I was like, bro.
There's some people that's making that.
Right.
On help desk, y'all.
Oh yeah, that's facts. Shout out to my guy Kev Tech. He's one of the people that's really, really making that bread and help desk. Like a cheat code is like if you want to make some good bread and do help desk, like get in a financial company.
I see. I don't know that guy you just mentioned, the Kev Tech guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen some of his work, and if y'all try to learn help desk, he got the whole thing. I seen some of his stuff. I just was looking through, looking at some of his content. I don't know him, but his content. If you're trying to learn help desk, try to get good. Now I've been sending people to him, to his YouTube channel, because I'm like, look, I'm out the help desk game. I'm in cyber now. But if you try to learn something help desk, go look at this. He got all the videos. He got the
and if you want to learn help desk or tech sales, check out the pinned comment in the chat. Course Careers. Use my code to get $50 off. You know what I'm saying? Course Careers been blessing careers out here, and that's what they're gonna do for you. But let's get into some. So you talk about the training. You talked about some techniques you learned. I like this question because I always ask people this. Like, so I'm gonna say right now you're not at the same place that you were at when you were on this endpoint team, right? Right. Are you like a principal level guy now? Are you just like are you a manager, a lead? Like, what do you do?
I stay out of the management side because I own my own company. So I'm seeing, what it all breeds, right? So, I'm about learning the skill. So I'm at a senior level, like as an engineer. Maybe mid-level engineer, because it's a new environment, it's a new wave of things on the engineering side. But as a forensics person, I'm a SME. You know what I'm saying? It just depends on what the task is at hand. So right now I'm a mid. I don't even know, but I know I'm doing some stuff that you probably would give a senior. You know, I'm doing some stuff around that. But it's also the variation of what am I touching, the stuff that you would not normally touch as a regular analyst or something like that. I have my hands in different, technologies and different things, you know, whether it's, you know, configuring a firewall or malware analysis or stuff like that. Like I'm able to touch certain things that you would not normally get if you were in a tier structure. So that's the kind of work I'm doing right now on that side. And I'm talking about my day-to-day, my day-to-day job, my day job. But the other stuff, I mean,
we're going to get into it.
Yeah.
We're going to get into it. That's dope. So we're going to segue into Max Pride in a second, but what are five tools that are like indispensable like to your job? Like what are five tools that like ain't gotta be, it could be like I was telling somebody in the last episode, like it could be something simple as Notepad++. Like it don't have to be some just this crazy tool. I'm talking about something you use every day that like it'll make your job harder if you didn't have it.
Yes. Cyber Chef. You can use Cyber Chef for anything, yo.
Facts.
You can use Cyber Chef for anything. That's number one. I like Notepad. I like Notepad, but Cyber Chef, I kind of use that to do what I will use it for Notepad for.
Right.
Notepad++, of course. PuTTY. WinSCP. You know, sometimes you got to move from different systems. Maybe you're going from Nonatrib, pulling something down from a malicious site. And you got to move it to another like analysis system. So WinSCP is good. You always need the command line, understand the command line, understand some of the things about some of the command arguments. I use that, but mainly like right now, OneNote. I love OneNote. Why do I love OneNote? And a lot of people hate OneNote, but I love OneNote. Because if you do some analysis and you got screenshots, you can animate it. You can make it look pretty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, send that thing out to the team, and they think you the best thing since sliced bread. You know what I'm saying? So those are my tools that I like to use on a day to day.
That's a fact. I know for me, I used to use OneNote, Notepad, CyberChef. Because for me, the good thing was like, okay, cool. If I'm seeing a lot of these things, I know I got a closing note somewhere. Let me just take this host and put this IP right here. Boom. It's the same thing I just did. Like, so that's what it just helped me do like that, or make my own templates like in servers now. I'm washed, man, because I hadn't did what I did. Like, I feel like AB, man. I've been out that game for like a year.
That's why I'm taking this whole month. Like, I just got finished teaching my class in the early, like the beginning of December. And I've been taking my whole month, like, to brush up on my skills. I'm working with a team right now. Man, the Leo Lab, that's where I learned my cloud and my coding from them. And we're working on a nice little program for the blue team side of the house. And I got another group called NBMG Group, where we just leveling up in tech all around, skill wise, just working on our craft, perfecting our craft, and you need that dog, you know what I'm saying? And that's another reason why I got my hand in different pots, so that I don't lose it. Because if you don't use it, you're gonna lose it, man.
Like, facts, and that's been me. Me and E was talking about that the other day on the phone, just about like trying to like stay sharp. So like, and it's one of the things I'm gonna be a record. Let me see. I'm being a record player at this point. It's like the part people don't tell you about, like getting a cybersecurity job, tech job, whatever. You could be doing anything, data analytics, networking. You gonna have to keep labbing and practicing on your own free time.
Yes,
even as it's work, because this, and that's what make it hard. So people understand. Most people got families, kids. Gonna, like for me, I'm gonna work out. I got the content I gotta do, or resumes. I just say, hey, look, well, let me just put an hour here every day. Something. Like, you're going to have to just do something. Like, shoot, if you're a boxer, hey, I can't do – I'm hurt, man. But, shoot, hey, practice throwing your jab over and over again.
Right.
Like, if it's the only punch you know how to throw.
Right.
You're 1-2. You're going to be like Wilder one day.
You're going to need it. And you're going to need it. You're going to need it. And a lot of people overlook that, right? I'm running into people. I'm trying to get in the field, you know, or I'm trying to get better at this. And I ask them, do you got a home lab? Oh, nah, what's that? What are you talking about? You know what I'm saying? Get a home lab, because that's how you practice. And hey, I put a post on, I got a post on LinkedIn. Football players got football fields. Soccer players got soccer fields. Or football players got football fields. Basketball players got basketball courts to practice. For cyber defenders, you need to have something that you can practice your skills on. If something new hits the environment, you need to be able to know how to move around these tools and practice your craft, because you're going to need it. You're going to need it, man. It'll be days. It may be slow on the job. That still does not exempt you from practicing your and focusing on your craft to get better. And you might run into a task that I used to do this 6 months ago. That's another reason why, like, I'm brushing up on my code and brushing up on some of the stuff that I don't know.
At least we got ChatGPT.
Yeah, forensics. I'm looking at the chat now. I see the man, the Leo Lab, in the building. That's my team right there. And somebody asked me about NCASE. Yes, I use NCASE.
Yeah, Professor Black Cops right there. He been the game. If me and you may be around similar ages, he been the game with, like, 40 years.
Much respect.
He's been a game, man. He's an OG for real.
Much respect. Much respect, man. I use NCASE now to do the investigations. Well, I always been using NCASE, but as the forensics me, that's what I use. That's their tool of choice. But I'm actually certified. It's actually expired, but I'm certified in FTK Imager. So Access Data Suite. I know how to use that one too.
So. Hey, I already know. Look, because in interviews, I've told people like, "Hey, look, I might not know how to do this, but I got a network of people that know how to do this. I could learn how to do this easy." So I was like, "Shoot, I know who the forensics guy is now." But one of the questions, another interview question that you'll probably get asked oftentimes, like, hey, do you have a homeland?
Yes.
And then that's your time. So when I work with insular people, they want to jump into cyber, but they don't have no projects, you know, that they worked on. So that's your time to jump into your projects.
Yeah.
Like, I've been telling people all the time, like lately, like, yeah, I did this. Shout out to Josh Metacore. He's the one that wrote the IT course on Course Careers. But he has this, I think I sent it to you, the Sentinel Lab. You do a virtual box. You let your take your firewall off and just let people freaking attack your box. And then you make the geo map and Sentinel. And so I was talking about that. Then I was talking about, hey, I took it like a step further. I said, I went to GitHub and did a logic app for like a threat feed to go on my Sentinel. And I've got to put billing on it. So I had to turn it off because it ran up on me real quick.
Sentinel?
Like, yeah, Sentinel. Microsoft Sentinel.
That's free?
Yeah, you can use Sentinel. It's not free, but you can use it. It's based on like your logic apps or your data that you're putting in.
Man,
you can.
I had a contract. I had a contract looking for. We were going.
I remember. Yeah, and I was talking to E about that. I'll tell you behind the scenes of why I was talking to E about that too.
Okay.
And that's one of the things why I've gravitated to actually using Azure more than AWS because of you can use Sentinel, you can use Defender, you can use O365 stuff. It's like you can do more things. So back in the day, you used to actually have to go get some hardware and equipment to kind of make you a home lab. You can do a lot of stuff virtually now.
You can do it virtually. And I'm not gonna spill the beans yet, because we're still in development stage, but we are working on something right now that you can either put in the cloud, MaxProd and Mandalio Lab. We're working on something now that you either build in the cloud or you can build on hardware. So I'm gonna post some little samplers of what it looked like soon, but we're working on that.
Okay. Yeah, he said, Professor Blackout said, I'm 55, AWS, labbing now virtually. Grind never stops. Like, that's facts. That's how you have a long career.
Yes.
So let's get into, first of all, let's talk about this. I want to ask you this because you're on the DMV, right?
Yeah.
Let's talk about two different things. For one, I know why DMV is so competitive. All the government contracts, they want you to have at least that Sec Plus and this other stuff. It's like super competitive because I've had clients out there and like it's hard. And I always ask them, I was like, do you have to stay in the DMV area? Can you like do remote somewhere else? And some of them like, well, I want to stay out here. And I get it. I want to visit DMV. Like next year, I want to actually visit like that area because I've heard good things about it. But let's talk about like why so competitive and then like what do entry level, we can do IR, SOC, whatever. What are those salaries look like out there? Because I want people to have like a realistic viewpoint on these things.
Okay. All right. So why is it competitive? I'm going to tell you why it's competitive. And a lot of people will probably get mad at me about this, but I see it on both sides. And they got this thing they came up with called you gatekeeping. Let me tell you what happened, right? Before cyber really got, before it blew up to what it is today, these companies used to hire people. They either got a degree, they either got a cert. Somebody like a me coming in there, no cyber skills whatsoever. They put them in a position. And then for some odd reason or another, that person that is sitting in that seat was really not that good. Gets an alert that they just pass over. A cyber attack happens on their watch. Ransomware hits on their watch. The network is owned on their watch. Guess what that does to the company that hired them? That company gets dinged for bringing in new people who don't really know what to do in a situation if something was to happen. That way, the network is going awry. You sitting there, you don't know what's going on. They get dinged. Their past performance gets dinged. They get billed. Every company right now should have at least a $1 million policy in case something like this happens. But more and more, that insurance, that company insurance gets higher and higher and higher. The premiums get higher and higher and higher because of these type of situations. So to protect themselves, they have to make it more competitive. You guys are looking at tier one positions and like, man, they asked for this, they asked for that, they asked for this, they asked for that. The reason why is because they've been burnt so many times by people coming in off good faith, not really knowing how to handle the situation. Companies are getting dinged. Companies are getting defarred. Companies are getting penalized for bringing in people that are not really skilled in the position. They may got the cert to pass the HR. They may got the degree, but they don't really know the skills. So the reason why it's way competitive and they're being real picky is because they don't want to get burnt again. There are big name companies right now that are in lawsuits left and right under the table that nobody knows about from getting burnt on the job. So how do you stand out? Now, me on that side of the fence, I see why. You know, I'm a business owner. All right, who am I going to hire? Yeah, I'm going to give somebody a chance. But I need to hire somebody that's, you know, and let me paint this picture first. Help desk is hold your hand. Once you get out of that help desk to come to the Sox base, it's walk with me, talk with me. I got somewhere to go. It's too fast paced for them to hold your hand. Most of these environments, and we talked about this before, most of these environments are not mature enough to bring in somebody who don't know nothing. They're not mature. They don't have things together. They're moving at a fast pace. It's kind of hard to slow down to do what they got to do, plus train you. That's a need right now in these different cyber organizations. So that's why, which takes me to my next point, is why they're so picky in bringing people in. It's because they know most of these environments are not mature. The government customers are being harder now on these companies. Hey, y'all missed an alert. Hey, what's up with him? He ain't do no tickets since he got here. Stuff like that. The customers are being more, you know, they're hounded down on these companies because of that. You know, they wanna hire you, but to save them from getting penalized, they gotta be real strict. Now, me being on this side, guess what I know? The tier one, tier twos. Let's say if you're just trying to go to tier one SOC, there's four certs that they will look at for tier one SOC. SEC plus any of the other three. So SEC plus, CEH, CYSA plus, GCIH. That's for tier one. So if you got SEC plus CEH or SEC plus GCIH, SEC plus CYSA plus, you are in the game. You're gonna pass that HR mark. After that point, you gotta show them why you are different from the next guy. And now what's making it extra harder now is guess what? All these tech layoffs from all these big companies are here. So you coming in with your little security plus. Yeah, you know, I used to work here, now I got security plus. All right, what else do you know how to do? Because the guy that just got laid off been writing malware since he was 5 years old and building robots. You got to go up against him now. Who you think the company's going to pick? They're going to pick the dude that's been writing the malware and stuff like that. So to be competitive in the game, you got to stand out. And that's something called a digital footprint. You know, post your skills. Put your skills on display. Hashtag these different organizations, not organizations, but these different industry. So if it's defense, if it's SOC work, if it's analyst, if it's incident response, have those as hashtags, but post your skills so that these recruiters can look, all right, hey, this is the guy we want. They got the skill we're looking for. You know what I'm saying? I got that forensics gig because I posted forensics on LinkedIn and I get a DM saying, hey, you want a part-time forensics gig? Yeah. I'll take it.
Okay. You know,
that's how I got that job, by putting my skills on display. That means, you know, go to these cons. Because guess who's at the cons? Hiring managers looking for people. You know what I'm saying? Compete in competitions. And I'm not talking about just the regular CTFs. You know, if you're trying to do sock work, competing, there's a one that they do every year called Open Sock, Recon InfoSec. One of the best attack and defense, or one of the best sock competitions I've ever been in was the Recon InfoSec Open Sock competition. Compete in that. Score. Get your name on the scoreboard. Because they're going to put you in a real situation where, in real life, this is what we would have to do. So standing out is, you know, the certs are good, but you got to stand out. You know, what's going to separate you from the mailman down the street who got Security Plus? You got to be able to stand out in order to get on, put your skills on display. Don't chase the recruiters. Let the recruiters chase you. And if you got the right skills based upon what they're looking for, they're going to hit you up every time. And what do you know? How do you know what they are looking for? And I say this all the time, and it just go over people's heads. The easiest way, the job description. We need somebody to know networking. You know, to have an understanding of network. Okay, cool. Learn networking. Learn what they are. You know what I'm saying? Don't just know, all right, HTTP is 480. All right, how does HTTP work? Know how to explain that. You know what I'm saying? Then post it. We need somebody to understand how to analyze incidents or events for malicious activity, phishing. Understand what these things are. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And post it. Learn it. Post it. Hashtag it. The recruiters are going to be in your DMs. They've been looking at LinkedIn all week. They're getting trash resumes. And I'm going to tell you when to post. Post on Friday or Saturday night, because ain't nobody on that joint posting. Posting there. They're going to be in your DMs. Talking about something. You want this job? Let's do an interview. Because I need somebody to take this gig. You know what I'm saying?
That's
something I learned, you know?
Right. I say post every night. I mean, honestly, another job search tip is like, apply early in the morning or late at night. So you're stack first. And then there's other ways I can show you how to use Boolean searches on LinkedIn. Actually, like, I did this one time, right? I wasn't finding no recruiters for who was recruiting for the role I did. So I seen on the job description, they had an acronym that job was like a part of this team. So I went in that company and I did that team, that the acronym in quotes, and I found people on that team.
Yeah.
And I was able to find a director and somebody else worked on an adjacent team, to where I was able to talk to him and he actually told me about another job, a role that I was hiring. And I applied to that. Well, I got referred because I had a friend that worked for the company that referred me, and I ended up interviewing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I'll be able to show y'all some more of that stuff later, because I have a video on that as well. It's like how I use LinkedIn to get like sock roles or whatever. But I wanted to touch off, because you really were spitting, so I had to let you cook.
Oh, my bad, man. You know, somebody asked, should I go sock first? It depends.
I told him to go GRC.
It depends on what you want to do. If you want to do less technical, go GRC. If you want your hands dirty, go sock.
It's some GRC roles that's actually kind of technical, surprisingly, though. So they're like hidden gems. You don't really find them all the time. So
yeah,
you just be surprised. But I was going to touch on what you were saying. It's like, it's kind of like the stuff like, and I got a guy I'm going to try to connect y'all to, because he's in your area and he's been doing like help desk IT stuff for like what, 3-4 years now. And I'm doing his resume now.
Okay.
But one of the biggest issues was that he was like, yeah, I'm applying to these security jobs, but they not hitting me back. You know, if you want to be on that Eminem stuff, like I said, hey, Slim, I wrote you and you still ain't calling. The issue was that when I looked at his resume immediately, I was like, this don't speak to anything that would be in any of those job descriptions.
Right, right.
And so he was like, well, how I figure out what skills? So I said, I know it's going to be repetitive, but the job description, I said, give about 10 job descriptions, see what skills overlap over and over. Write them down. Learn them. Then from there, you know, start doing you a lab. Take all them skills you learn individually and make you a good project out of it so you can talk about it. I told him like a starting point would be like try Heckman, because they do have some good foundational stuff. When I was looking for roles, it might have been 2021, so it might be late 2020. I had a membership to INE at the time. Still on my page right now. I was either the Boston Sock 1 or 2 data set. So it's an hour long video, but I'm talking through the whole video. Like, this is why I'm looking for this. This is why I'm doing this. And I used to send that when I would apologize or I was talking to recruiters about stuff and they say, you know, I would send that to them and say, you know, you can share this with them too. And yeah. pretty much all them jobs I always got interviews for.
Yeah.
Because we know you can't fake it when you investigate. You can't fake it. I worked with some people who should have been more MSS versus like actually having to think and analyze because they ain't got it. And like you said, hey, people been burned. That it's happened. Like it happens all the time. And that's why, you know, I know, and a lot of people don't know, like, you know, at first, probably before 2020, people kind of looked down on socks in a sense.
Yeah.
Not knowing that you can have like a whole career working in socks, and socks actually pay very well now because
they
found out how critical socks were once people start being remote. Like, hey, we got to pay these people because, like you said, it's so much stuff you got to know to work in a sock. If you're losing good talent, that's potential. Look, if you didn't want to pay him that $130,000, $140,000, he go get $160,000 somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Now you got to replace him and potentially the cost of costing yourself millions. So that's what's been happening now when it comes to sock work.
And you asked about pay. You asked about the pay. For tier ones, depending on where you at, you get between 75 or 90. That actually went up. It used to be 55.
Yeah, it's up. It's up.
But they up there, 75, 90, maybe right under 100 for tier one. If you're lucky, you get 95 as a tier one for sock work. You know what I'm saying? And you hit on something. I forgot what it was. I kind of lost my train of thought.
About the cost, like I said, like 140 or something like that, 120, 140, something?
No, it was before that. It was about the
MSS?
Looking at the job description.
Oh, job description, learning skills, make your lab?
Making a lab, job description. It was something along those lines. When I remember, I'm gonna come back. Because it was along the lines of competitive, being competitive in the game and standing out. But when I remember, I'll bring it back up.
Okay.
I had it. With it.
Oh, shoot. KF Tech in the building right now. Salute to KF Tech IT support.
You got really good content, sir. I just want to throw that out there. I don't know you, but your stuff is good, dog. For help desk. Anybody looking for help desk, go look. I've been sending that YouTube page to people.
Yeah, man, he about to be at like 50,000 subs pretty soon, man. He's truth.
It's good stuff, dog.
But I know you was talking about that. You stopped on tier one for pay because I know this is like DMV scale, right? Or DMV, you going to average
DMV scale? Because I don't know. I ain't been nowhere else. So that that's from average. 75, low hands, low fives, 75 to 90, maybe under 100. Tier twos, if you're doing it right, tier twos start 115-ish to 125 or 135. So you can range between one. If they give you 100 for tier two, that's too low. So if you do 115, depending on your skills. Depending on your skills, you can get 135 to be a tier two. All right? Because they got to make money as a company, right? The company got to make money. It's actually higher than that. But if you're tier three, I've seen people in their tier threes 150 and up.
Mm-hmm.
I know tier threes touching 150, 180, 190. Once you get into principal and once you get into like senior principal roles, you're up here, you know, and now we're talking about IR, right? So IR, instant response, tier three, 170 to 180.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Maybe 190. If you know how to work the system.
Right.
But yeah, you can make some pretty good dough doing the cyber stuff and doing the SOC stuff and IR. You know, I think IR is a bigger bag than SOC.
Well, you know, they rolling them like the companies I've been interested in, like talking to. Yeah. There is no difference. They're all together, so they're just a fire team.
Hey, listen, I worked that thing. And listen, here's another cheat code. Go 1099. And you'll get more. Because now you take away the tax, take away, you got to pay your own health care now. Yeah. So if you was doing a second gig, that's what I say. Anybody in the field that's in it right now, hey, your little W-2, that's cool. But if you're trying to get a second job in the same field, go 1099. Because they give you, it's cheaper for them to pay you straight out the pocket.
Right.
And not have to worry about taxing it and giving you benefits and all this other stuff like that. You can walk out of there with $200,000 if you do it right.
Sure. Or like, ask them, do they do? I tried to hit them up with that. Yeah, I do business to business. So I'm really gonna run it up.
Yeah, corp to corp, corp to corp.
Hey,
hey, hey! You know, Max probably been eating good this year. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, and that's what I was gonna ask you about now, so we can get into it. Is like, well, for one, it's the DMV. So I feel like everybody in the DMV got their own company.
Well, yeah. Yeah and no, because there's some people in the DMV that's okay with coexisting. They're okay with their little check and they carry out every Friday. Meanwhile,
I mean, I'm trying
to eat everything.
Listen, because it's
I eat what he don't eat. You know what I'm saying?
It's expensive up there, man. Like I remember when you were telling me what you was talking about. I talked to her, and I got to get her on the channel too. She was dope. She did some pen tests and the other stuff. She worked for Visa.
Oh, nice.
And so she had referred me to a role, but they wasn't talking about, like, he wasn't talking about nothing when they was talking about the pay in. It was trying to require you to move out there. Like,
oh, no. Listen,
I was like, listen. Nah, that's not it, Slim.
The cheat code, and I tell everybody this, if you step in it, even in help desk, eventually you're going to pivot out of help desk. Like we said before, mm-hmm. don't stay there more than a year. Like you should already, it's a gas station, you should already have your cert or whatever you need to do. You should already know where you need to go after a year, right? Get your clearance. Right. If you're going to get one, get it. And start picking where you need to go because that's where those tickets are going, right? But if you're stepping in, I tell everybody this. Start your LLC. Here's the new cheat code. Listen to the market. All these different big companies laying off people. Big companies laying off people.
Yeah.
What do they got to do now? They got to go out and they got to find a company that's willing to pick them up. If you already got your LLC in, you're at a place, you know the customer, you could work a deal with the customer to pay you directly as your own company versus being an employee for somebody else that could just say, you know what, we're just going to cut this group right here. And that's mm-hmm. another reason why I started a company back in 2020. I ain't really do nothing crazy. It wasn't until COVID. Where I said, you know what, let me take it serious. Because, COVID was like, take it serious. So I started in February 2020. My 2-year mark would be this February 2023. 2021, June of 2021, that's when I really took it serious. And I started talking to the customer and I started making relationships with the people I work with. And I was able to get work. Not, I'm talking about outside of my W-2 for my company. Dope. You know what I'm saying?
So tell us about, like, you know, what type of work Max Pryor does, you know, y'all hiring, yes. Like, you know, like, do you got to be in a DMV area to work for Max Pryor? Like, no. Kind of, you know.
Not at
you
know, all. Let us Not know. At all. I understand the market, right? So everybody wants to work remote. So if I can win work that just requires remote, like we was talking about that Sentinel one, mm-hmm. that contract that I could have had. That I could have had. The pen testing gig took precedence, so I couldn't chase it like I wanted to. That was an all remote thing. You know, a SOC, a remote SOC. All you needed to have was the Microsoft, what's it, the Microsoft Security Operations Cert or Azure Fundamentals. And I could have picked the person up and got, you know, you would have got trained on how to do the job and everything. So I understand people want to work remote now. I understand that. But there are some jobs that require you to be on site. Max Fry, we're at different organizations, government organizations, and I'm working on something right now. I'm trying to make it the last big win of the year. Hopefully I get an okay on that. Doing risk management work. So vulnerability assessment, RMF type work. I'm not in that realm, but because I know somebody, I can get that type of work, right? So, am I hiring right now? No. But I will be hiring. So, you know, I'm going to throw a fill out there just to get resumes once I see some work come in. But we do security operations. So I have a SOC contract. I got a forensics contract. And I have two other contracts that professional services for cyber. That's how I got those pen testing ones. I'm not a pen tester. Like, I'll be the first to tell you my pen test skills are trash. However, once you start knowing people and networking and making the right connections, you get work that you don't really ask for. You just get it. And so I was able to get two pen testing contracts this year and successfully complete those. And then I have another one doing some side work, some content type stuff. But those are four active contracts I have right now. I'm chasing one big one this year, and hopefully I get something going before New Year's Eve. So that's another reason why I'm on Twitter, just to work on that. We're not hiring right now, but I got my eye open. You know what I'm saying? And I will want it. And this is the type of, company I'm trying to breed is, if you got an LLC or a company or something like that, here's the kicker. If I win work, I would want to give you that work, right? So instead of hiring you as a W-2, I just hire you as corp to corp or 1099. That way you get past performance to chase after the work that these big companies are chasing after. That's really what one of my end goals is how can I get more people in a more secure way, right? So if you W-2, you're really gonna get the bad end of the stick in some cases. But how do I set you up so you can help your people around you? Get yourself a company, LLC, get it started. You know what I'm saying? And if I got something that requires a team, I could team up and pass some work to you based upon your skill set. And then you hire whoever you want to hire on your team. That ain't gonna make you look bad. You know what I'm saying? So those are all the things I got in my brain. You know what I'm saying? I got it on paper. It just need to execute and just waiting on a big opportunity that I can provide that for people. You know what I'm saying?
That's dope, man. That's dope. Hey, I know earlier I was like we was gonna touch on some new stuff, but I'm gonna get to these questions first, and we got time to touch on some of those news links I sent y'all. We'll touch on them. If not, I might touch on them Monday. Dang, I ain't gonna be able to touch on Monday morning. I'll try to do something next week. But all right, we got this. One of the earlier questions that came in, and he said, what are y'all thoughts on Let's Defend training platform for SOC? I used it like a couple of times, so I can't really say, you go with it. And I don't really have a fair assessment of it, to be honest. I just know it's something that they created, so it's not like any other type of SIM thing you would use somewhere else. But the thing about SIMs is if you have the knowledge of what to look for, whatever SIM you use really doesn't matter. As long as you know what you need to look for, you can figure out how to learn the SIM. But if you figure out what to look for and what you're doing and why, you'll be fine anywhere you work.
Right. Let me add to that. I signed up for Let's Defend and never use it. All right. And I'm not against any training platform, by the way. But I will say this. You will learn more installing and deploying your own tools in VMware. There's some things that they won't show you or learn or teach you on these platforms because it's already set up for you. You deploying it and setting it up yourself will give you that institutional knowledge that you will learn that you would not normally learn by doing these different other. I'm not saying don't do them, but I'm saying get that experience of setting up VirtualBox or a VMware Workstation or ESXi or even AWS Cloud. Set up a pfSense firewall. Set up an Active Directory environment from scratch. Set up some of these open source tools. Get used to configuring some of these files because those file locations of where these files are sitting to turn on certain logs and stuff like that. Get used to that, because that's the stuff that you really gonna need to know when you step into the field. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I haven't used it, but I would say do the hands-on, build it yourself. you know, to get that knowledge.
Yeah, now touch on that. I would just say if you do use things like that, like take it a step further. After you learn stuff from the e-learning platform, go do your own thing. Like I said, yeah, on LinkedIn or whatever, I say it's cool. I'll say everybody doing, what's it called? Hack the Box, Try Hack Me, Let's Defend. Everybody doing it. You know, what's something you did? Yeah. Shout out to, and I cannot pronounce my guy's name. I'm not going to mess his name up. But it was dope. I was telling E about, I had a consultation with a guy, man. He's a patent examiner right now, but he's been working on Splunk in his free time. I think he got a couple of Splunk certs, but he was like, yeah, man, I use my Apple Watch data to, I logged it and I sent it to Splunk to make me some dashboards along with some other stuff he did. But I was like, bro, I've never heard nobody talking about using their health data in Splunk. I was like, that'll be super interesting to talk about in an interview.
Yeah,
because think about it. You ain't going to hear too many people talking about, hey, like, yeah, I got my stuff going into Splunk, and this is how I can track my progress and all this stuff. Like, it's just about being creative, how creative you want to be with it.
And listen, you know, if that person posts a screenshot of that, put it on LinkedIn, he going to get hits. He going to get hits because you now took the skill and you applied it to real life. You know what I'm saying?
Facts. And who knows? He probably could work for a Fitbit or somebody, because they be doing stuff like that.
Right.
That's another secret.
And they got Splunk. It's not only in the tech field. They got Splunk in healthcare. They got Splunk in the finance, you know. And even when Splunk first came out, guess what? They was trading the what's it called? Buttercup Games. That was a financial store.
Right. I got all that. I got them PDFs and all that. Yeah, because I first used Splunk when I was working at the NOC. We weren't using Splunk ES. We were just using the data sets, the autumn different things. That's all we use. But speaking of Splunk, it's the other question. It was like, should we prioritize learning Splunk? And I would say if you want to niche down.
Yeah, if you want to niche down. Now, I would throw this at you. I would take a step further. If you're trying to do SOC work or incident response, like you said before, it doesn't really matter the technology, because you're going to be doing the same thing. It's just knowing how to use that particular technology, right? So one firewall, one SIM, one IPS, one IDS, one EDR, one ticketing system. If you know how to use at least one, that is counted as experience. The reason why we say Splunk in the DMV is because most of the contracts, they use Splunk. So why not download that Splunk for 60 days? Mm-hmm. Import a bots data set, because that's the most relevant, or that
will add all the add-ons.
Yeah, it will show you. Yeah, do all the add-ons. That bots data set is the closest to what you will see in a real SOC. If you throw that in there, play around with that data, knowing how to, you know, tailor it and get it to where you need to get to, that's cool. But now do the other ones. Find the IPS, find the IDS, find the EDR. And there are a lot of open source tools that you can use for free and at home. You can learn that stuff at home, really. I got a home lab here. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I just put a link in the chat to secrepo.com. It's a site I stumbled upon while I was looking like logs I can ingest into Sentinel. And it got none but like logs in there. Mm. Like different data sets. You can put it all in there and really make correlation searches and everything. Because think about it, man. Look, how many times you interview somebody and they said, I had a project where I took all this data and I made, you know, threat detection rules off. I made correlation searches and I did all this. And nobody going to tell you that because they don't know.
They don't know.
But if you find somebody that do, he's like, you know what? He ain't probably did this paid, but the fact that he learned about how to do correlation. He said, yeah, I used, you know, MITRE ATT&CK to map this out. And this is what it came up with, based off a Sigma rule, and wrote it in the KQL.
Yeah.
I'll hire him.
Yeah. Easily. Just the effort of saying or going that extra mile, you're doing something you're not even paid to do, to learn how to read certain logs, understanding how to correlate rules, understanding the MITRE ATT&CK or the kill chain or the diamond model, or the threat intelligence piece behind it, looking at some of these different malwares and stuff like that. Just you going after it and taking the chance without being paid is going to set you apart from everybody else that just got the cert and not really doing that. You know what I'm saying? Because it's going to show on the interview. And that's what I meant to say. That's what I lost train of thought at. You said something about them being burnt A lot of people, you can't fake an IR. Guess what they doing now? And I'm just not to scare you, but I'm just throw it out there. This is what they're going to do now. On these SOC interviews and the IR interviews, you might get past HR. You might get past the speaking piece. They're putting you in front of a computer with an incident or a PCAP or some type of alert and watching you analyze it from cradle to grave. And you better be on point because your resume better not be lying. You know, you got that cert. You better know that cert.
Listen,
left and right. Because that's how they weed you out. That's how they weeding you out.
He gave me one, and we was doing it on Teams. I popped it in OneNote and analyzed it and say, you know, what we look for. You can't fake that.
You can't fake it. That's how they weed people out now. And that's what I mean. It's getting real, real, real competitive. So understanding how to handle certain incidents.
Right. And another thing that made it hard on y'all trying to get in is the fact that people was doing so much fugazi stuff these last 2 years, like having other people interview for them and then they get the job. That's not the same person. They fired them. Like, Insider Threat been busy the last 2 years with all this like fraudulent stuff. It's been crazy, man. Right. Like, people been going through all different type of links to get these roles. And that's why they, you know, made the requirements of all these Zoom things and make sure it's you. And they use them third-party data to screenshot everybody, make sure that's the same person matching up with their face and stuff. It's a lot, man.
Right.
it's a lot.
And if I have a job opening, and let's say if I'm posting something, hey, come work for me, that's how I'm vetting people. I'm going to give you, hey, here's a PCAP, tell me what happened. Here's an image, tell me what happened. You know what I'm saying? I see your search and all that, but we need skills. You know what I'm saying? Thanks.
And I've been pushing for people to do Blue Team Level 1 a lot, too.
I never use Blue Team Level 1. I mean, I see people touch on it and stuff like that. I don't know what their content look like. Is it they pretty good? Or
so a director team that I interviewed with before, he kind of helped write it. It's a good curriculum. I think one of my clients showed me about it. My guy Dayspring passed it a while back, and then one of my clients just passed it. He got an internship that's coming up summer. It's some good stuff.
Day Cyberwalks.
Yep.
Yeah. 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 I seen him post something.
Yeah, man, dude. He probably working on some cloud detections right now. Here go another question right here.
Somebody said, just a PCAP. No, just not that.
He said, what's your thoughts on FedWork, FedRAMP, NIST, and HIPAA? Those compliance have red team forensics and playbooks.
FedRAMP is a new, if you talk about government organizations, you need to know these three. HIPAA, not necessarily in the government space. HIPAA is
what's
more,
the ISO?
The ISO
27001 or something like that.
But FedRAMP for these different, because they're, you know, when they implement cloud, that FedRAMP certification is going to be big here as new regulation. And this ain't going nowhere. So if you're in a government organization, if you try to do government work, dealing with that, the NIST and the FedRAMP are good. You know, you're going to need to know that. HIPAA, if you touching healthcare stuff, maybe. If you're in the public sector, like private sector, work for a private company, that FedRAMP and that NIST don't matter. So if you're working for a company that's not government organization, you don't need to know. You don't need to worry about that. Only if you're touching the government.
Right. Here go another question for you right here. So Raheem Cunningham said, what kind of foundational skills are really required for SOC Tier 1?
Okay. All right, let me talk this. You need to know foundational. Networking, first level. You don't have to be a guru in networking. You just need to understand how the network works. Because guess what you're monitoring? The network. So understand some of those basic network protocols, and I would even name, these are the protocols that I know they're going to interview you on. They're going to interview you on DNS, HTTP, HTTPS, SMTP, maybe RDP, Kerberos, and maybe LDAP. Those are the main ones I know that they're going to want you to understand those networking protocols, and SMB. So understand your basic networking, understand how to read logs. There are different logs. sources that will tell you what happened on the system or in the network. Understand or know some of the tools. So some of the command line tool, Windows command line, you know, just some of the basic tools that you would use in an environment. Like I mentioned, maybe a sim, maybe you don't have to be a pro. You just at least have to touch one of these, like firewall, a sim, what's the IPS, what's the IDS, EDR. They got free EDRs out there you can use that I use in my lab. You may not even have to go that far. But your log sources, knowing your logs, knowing how to report an incident. So knowing how would you report a phishing? How would you report a malware? What are you looking for in those incidents? Right. So how would you handle those incidents? And I think you had a question on LinkedIn about that. Like walk me through your steps on how you would handle
unusual authentication.
Yeah, unusual authentication. Like, to answer that, you got to know what log is going to show you that information.
Mm-hmm.
To start off, then you got to know what system.
Right, and so I didn't specify because
he didn't even specify. So, security across all platforms, whether it's cloud, whether it's Linux, whether it's Windows, maybe Mac, depending on where you at. Like, how would you analyze an unusual authentication alert on any one of those type of systems? So understanding just the basics of those. I would even throw in first level forensics for tier one. Some people would disagree with me with that, but you know, knowing where to find evidence is going to be a question that I've seen on a tier one question. Like, knowing how to find, like, where would you go to look? You know what I'm saying? So
that just reminds me of them asking me what port does ping use.
Yeah, what port? That's, and watch out for those trick questions. What port does ping use? You know what I'm saying? Those type of trick questions that they would throw in there. Yeah. Know these frameworks. What is MITRE? What are cyber kill chain? What is a diamond?
And that's a cheat code of understanding how to answer some of those questions too.
Yes.
You need help understanding persistence?
So yes.
Go to MITRE.
Go to MITRE. Read through it. Lateral movement. Go to MITRE.
MITRE.
Privilege escalation. The three areas that I know they really want to see starting off in the conversation is execution, persistence, privilege escalation. Starting off, lateral movement maybe down the road, data exfiltration at the end. You know what I'm saying? So those are the basics. And I would even throw an outline in there. It's on my website. Just take my outline and learn that. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. And I was going to throw in, don't forget the soft skills. Because essentially, in that SOC, you may interact with a lot of different people.
Know how to talk to people.
Know how to send correct emails.
Send correct emails, proper communication. Again, everything's a fire to those who don't really know what they're doing at the top. So how do you tell them, you know, hey, we got everything under control at this level. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
How do you report that? Those soft skills is what got me in the SOC. Not my technical skills. Me knowing how to relay something to on a ticket, call over to a team, properly talk to an individual got me that SOC gig. So your soft skills can take you to places where your regular skills won't. You know what I'm saying?
Facts. Always. You don't see it like in the beginning of your career, you don't see it because it's hard. But if you want to either, whether you're going, because when you start going to tier two, tier three anyway, they're going to expect you to mentor people.
Yes.
So they want to know how you are with the team. Are you this uncomfortable person? You just know everything.
Right.
How are you? So they want to figure all that stuff out.
Yeah.
And if you can't display that in the interview, it's like, I don't know about him. He got a bad attitude. Because one of the things I talk about in my LinkedIn learning course, and I think even in my ebook, people like to work with who they like to work with.
Mm-hmm.
So if you unlikable, ain't nobody want to work with you.
Right. It's some people I know that know they off the chain. Some people I used to work with that they got it. They got it like that. But they don't know how to relay the information. And they don't know how to talk. They don't have that. They don't have that persona about them that can easily work with somebody else. And it hurts. It's a career limiting move. If you don't know how to work with people, that teamwork. And that could be another thing that you can show for your skills to help you stand out. How do you work with teams? So going to these cons, volunteering at these local cons and playing in competitions with teams, that will help you. That will help you. You know what I'm saying?
I got an even easier one. Shoot. Hey, you get into a new place and you're trying to ramp up your skill set, or you onboarding. This is the perfect time to really have a goal, because it's going to also help you when it comes to your end of the year review.
Right.
Shoot, you come in there, you find all these new people, rewrite documentation.
Yes.
Nobody want to write documentation. Nobody do it. you learned about a process you didn't know. You helped, and it's teamwork. They're gonna remember that. It's called the dirty work.
They're gonna remember it. You know, get that documentation in. Helping out with those SOPs, those playbooks.
Mm-hmm.
Volunteer. You know, and I say this on a few podcasts. If you're an introvert, be an introvert at home. You know what I'm saying? That's if you're trying to make it somewhere, right? Be an introvert at home. You can't do it at work. You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to Courtney for the super chat. And then we got my man Gavin right here for the next super chat. And then my guy Kevtech came through and blessed us. Tell us, don't sleep on those soft skills. Learn how to communicate to different departments is super important. Talking to an executive will be different from talking to a technical person. That's facts. Because I used to have to get on my guys, not get on them, but like, fam, why are y'all sending this person right here? Hey, tell me about your IP address and all this. Bro, just say, hey, this is what we found. This is what we see.
Yeah.
Just give them what they need to know. None more, none less. They don't even know how to answer this stuff.
And listen, this is how I always end it when I'm talking to an executive. We are currently investigating, and we will update you as updates become available. That's how you keep – that's the stiff arm to keep them off you while you trying to figure stuff out. You know what I'm saying? We'll give you updates as they become available, and we working on it. You know what I'm saying? That's how I would end my executive summaries.
Yeah, man, that's facts. I just had templates, and like I tried to help them out, because some people, because one of the things too is harder too is like, you know, a lot of these companies you work with people that are different places, so English might not be their first language. So establishing a template so we have uniform communication makes it even easier. So everything is the same. And that's how I used to try to get into those. So I was like, look, let's get these templates made in ServiceNow and also. So every ticket that we close out, whatever, the same for a reason. It's gonna be easy for us to figure stuff out.
Yeah. And that first call resolution is big. You know what I'm saying? That being able to have to pass that ticket on somebody else. You closing out of your name. Hey, get that.
Big facts, man. But shoot, man, we close to the end. I'm finna ask him some more questions that we started off with, but it's different. All right, so you seek a Fury.
Fury. And anybody. I'm Fury versus everybody. Now I'm gonna lose my black card because everybody said I'd betrayed. Listen, Fury got skills. It ain't race doesn't win fights. Skills do. Okay. He's gonna win. You put him in there with Joshua, he's gonna do the same thing. You know what I'm saying? So
well, I do agree with everything. Usyk, I think he's just too small. I think Usyk lucked up because Joshua's stamina. Had Joshua had a couple of camps with Robert,
he was stiff.
Well, he's stiff, but you know, he was showing a whole different way out of boxing. He's still very muscular. He's got smaller than we used to be. Yeah. If he was about probably 220 and with much better conditioning, I think he'd come back the next round and get Usyk out of there, because every time Joshua landed something, it hurt him.
It wasn't the same Joshua that fought Klitschko. It wasn't the same Joshua. He was just standing there.
Well, you know, like, Joshua in a much worse way I don't care. Nobody say my boy almost came back and beat Madonna. But
who?
Joshua got stopped. AB and Madonna.
AB. Hey, look, Madonna say AB hit him
harder than Floyd. He took the easy money.
Yeah, he took that.
I ain't mad at it though, bro. I'm not mad at him taking that money. But yeah. Nah, that Ruiz fight really, really, really changed him and made him.
Yeah.
I understand, man. But I think they had reports that he was getting concussed in training camp. Like, he probably shouldn't have been in the fight, but they was like, man, we got money on the line. Because he didn't see him right on fight night.
No, I looked at his dad's reaction to Eddie Hearn. Like, he wanted to fight Eddie Hearn after that. And I knew something was wrong with it. They had this man promote. Eddie Ruiz, at that time, Andy didn't have no promotion. He didn't have no...
Right. He just was somebody.
He was just a... He was just a bench warmer at one point. So they put the promotion all on Joshua. Mm-hmm. And that's because Big Baby pop for, you know, PED.
And that's what I wanted to see. I
wanted to see that.
I hate that he keep popping, but he's so big and he throws so many punches, bro. It's like he don't have to hurt, but I could see him actually. I think he would lose to Fury, but I think if we come out work right, it'll be because you know what? Fury don't do the best against guys that are shorter than him. Like an Otto Wallin. If you could take it to him and get nasty, to be the finesse fighter, you got to be nasty. And that's why I used to tell people, like, look, I like a fighter that could do anything in the ring, and I know he's going to do it to take the win. That's why I knew, like, hey, ain't no way Kovalev finna try to beat Dre again.
Right.
Because he don't like getting hit to the body. He going to fight him on the inside.
Yeah.
And after he tasted your power, it was easy. I remember going to Twin Peaks. I went to Twin Peaks and watched that second fight.
With Dre?
Yeah, Dre and Kovalev.
Man, that was Dre's solid, dog. Like,
yeah,
he's the only one that could beat Canelo, they said.
I don't think Errol can. I think he's too small. I would, like me and my pop say, me and my dad say, in order for him to beat Canelo, he gotta go beat a Caleb Plant and a Danny Jacobs for me to feel like he can beat him. I ain't talking about skills. I'm talking about taking that punishment.
Hey, hold up.
Because
what you rooting for? What's my man Caleb Plant who just fought?
Darrell.
Darrell. Was that
he was doing good. He got caught, though. He was doing good. He old, though, bro. He did get caught. He got caught. Because I thought...
Because
he better be careful because Benavidez don't fight like. See, Darrell's trying to counterpunch. Benavidez don't fight like that. He found the front foot.
Yeah, he front
Caleb going to be in for a long night because that's going to
be a long
boy.
Night. It's going to be a long night.
It'll be 190 or some pounds in there fighting him.
Yeah, it's going to be a long night. It's going to be a long night. Yeah, absolutely.
But I mean, me and my dad said the same thing about like. He was like, they rushed Trinidad in too early to fight Bernard Hopkins. He should have had a couple more fights at 160, then fought Bernard, and he probably would have won.
Bernard did some wild stuff that night, too. When he took the flag. And
I can't remember what he did.
Promo, he took the flag. Was it the Puerto Rican flag?
I got to go back and see that promo. But yeah, he fought him too early. He fought him too early because Trinidad, you know who kind of, and we're going to end up wrapping this up. You know who kind of remind me? Not as good, but he's chinny, but he can punch. And I feel like if he moved to 160, he's going to be better than what he is at 154.
Ooh.
Erickson Lubin. I was rewatching him fighting Jason Rosario. And honestly, he had Fundella beat had he just boxed.
Had he boxed, And everybody.
I don't think nobody else going to make Fundella that hit a knee because people don't realize because. Lubin was on an interview the other day saying, like, Charlo was talking about the fight. He was like, hey, I was kind of worried about you because Lubin got power in both hands. You hear him when they land. So I'm like, I feel like he got to 60 and 68. He going to actually take punches better. And because that's the way people always talk about, you know, Bud and Gamboa. Shoot, he was fighting that, 135. And people didn't even want to fight Gamboa back then, to be honest. If we're going to keep it all the way funky. Mikey Garcia show ran from him.
They were scared from him. But
certain people... If you at a certain weight too long, and that's another thing I feel about Errol. I feel like Errol been at 147 too long. I feel like he only got one fight left at 147, to be honest. I don't think he really needs to be at 147 no more.
Well, but he just said
PBC
that
messed him up like that.
Well, he just said that in the interview.
I feel like that for a couple of years though, just looking at him not getting the power is not like it used to be.
Yeah.
So that's how I know he probably a little weight drain. But
yeah, he weight drain.
These people, you know, they ain't come to hear about boxing. I might bring Banco back up since I can stream on multiple channels. Like it'd be fun just something to talk about. I used to just ramble off on all my videos. But I got your stuff in the description where they can follow you. But for our listeners, for when they play this back on the podcast, where can they follow you at on Twitter?
I'm at Cyber Reverend at Comandante Bowie. That's on Twitter. If you want to find me on LinkedIn, I'm Marcus Bowie. You'll see me as a cybersecurity engineer on there.
Cool, man. Y'all already know who I am. Better, okay. Like I said, you need a resume. I got a couple of days before I start doing resumes, so if you need one now, go ahead and book it, and I'll get it done for you. If not, I ain't probably gonna do nothing until the next year. But yeah, man, I appreciate y'all rocking with me. Help me get to 10,000 subscribers. I got some big things to tell y'all about next year. But it's been another great episode, man. Like I always say, let's stay textual, and we out.